You're listening to the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast with John Rabin. All right, guys, welcome to the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast. I'm John Rabin. Nice to be back with you again on a weekly basis. This is my venue for performance now. As you're aware, I mean, I guess I could also start a YouTube channel, but we're not going, I really don't want to, I'm not ready to move to video. And by ready, I mean willing. I'm not willing to move to video with the, there's no reason to do it. It doesn't matter. This is episode 110. You guys, and I'm doing well. My fiance and I are doing well. That's right. I proposed to my girlfriend, and she became my fiance because she said yes. And all is well. That's how things are going over here. We sat down and we talked and we thought, hey, you know what? All this pressure from what's going on in the world and the pandemic and financial crisis, an upcoming presidential election, and civil rights turmoil, and everybody going crazy, and all the stress. You know what we could do to kick it up a notch? Why don't we try to get married during it? That's what we thought. We thought, hey, you know what? We're acing this so well. We're doing so well. We're doing way better than everybody else. There's absolutely nothing going on. You know, it's too easy. We thought, hey, why not really make things interesting? So that was the reason. What can I say? All of that, of course, is incorrect. Basically, you love who you love. And it's, you know what? It came down to, this was going to happen anyway. And at some point, you just kind of sit there, because I had posted, you know, we had talked about that. That podcast that I listened to were, you know, from the episode titled We Are Martians Now, talking about you can't be in love with your old life. And so it's one of those things that you've got to, in order to move forward, instead of just waiting around, you know, waiting, doing nothing and hoping that, well, maybe things will get back to normal, soon kind of a deal. You've just got to figure out the new normal. You know this, most of you. It's figuring out what you're going to do, you know, now that this is who we, yeah, this is me now. That whole trope, it's true though. Like, this is me now. This is, so I decided, basically, I'm going to lean into it. I'm leaning into it. That's exactly what I'm doing. Just, well, John, what do you mean by what is it? Just it. I'm leaning into it. Life. Love. And the pursuit of happiness? No, not the pursuit of happiness. You don't pursue happiness. You find it, or whatever. I'm just talking out of my ass. Yeah, dude. She fucking said yes, and it's great because, you know, I'm in my 40s, 46. I'm in my almost late 40s, and she's in her early 30s, and it's weird to keep referring to her as my girlfriend. Like, it just feels weird to go, my girlfriend. It feels weird, and I'm glad I don't have to do that anymore. I sound grown up, you know, my fiance. Ooh, fiance. look who's got plants. Like, it really does kind of kick it up to an extra thing, I think. And I'm thankful. It's always been weird to me that, you know, when you get to a certain age and then it's boyfriend and girlfriend. But I've seen the alternative. I've seen people do, you know, it's also, you know, it's weird is when straight people, when a straight couple still calls each, when they call their significant other, their partner, how confusing is that? Like, the whole idea, I think, is so that they, you know, the, hey, we're hip, you guys, but, you know, you kind of, but when you hear it, like, I had a guy at work who did that. It was like, oh, yeah, my partner, blah, 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 blah. And I went, all right. And, of course, immediately in my head, like, I wasn't aware he was gay. He's not gay. He's dating a woman, and they call each other partners. And that seems to me that it feels kind of like you're cutting in on gay people's thing. But, you know, like, oh, no, we're cool, you know, we're woke to it. Partner. All right. But the first thing that I think of is that you're gay and you're not gay. It's kind of misleading. Then I start thinking maybe he's referring to his business partner, that he's got a side gig, not just waiting tables. But that's also incorrect. He did not have a side gig. His side gig was his relationship, I guess. No, I don't know. It was, but that was, it's just confusing. Partner. Like, and I know that some people think of it, I guess you can think of it like the upcoming, you know, getting married. That, you know, a marriage is a partnership. I guess. Partnership kind of implies the business where you're equal partners and, you know, you make decisions together and it's equal. But I gotta admit to you, it feels more like actually what it is my fiance and I are in an organization like a mob. And she's the godfather and I'm the consigliere. I am absolutely... Yeah, I am absolutely the lawyer, like, you know, giving advice when asked. Otherwise, it's like, it's a, you know, it's all up to you, Godfather. Like, it really is absolutely not a half and half type of scenario. I don't, you know, I'm like, hey, whatever, you know, you want my advice? I'm with you. No, I have opinions, but I've always tried to, I like being opinionated in an entertaining value, but normally I just like, you know, I'm trying to back off and try not to be. I hate unsolicited opinions so much that I'm trying, especially in my personal life, I'm like going, well, I'll wait till, you know, instead of just handing advice, here's what I think, let me just wait to be asked. That seems like the better move. And it is. For the most part, I think. But yeah, things are great, man. It's been a good week. And thank God, though, it's finally out and everything, because I had that fucking ring on me for like a week before and I'm not going to go into details. You know, how'd you propose? You don't want to hear that. Nobody who listens to this podcast goes, I hope he goes into detail about how he asked her to marry him. I hope he provides... you know, a descriptive explanation on how it all went down. There's no fucking way you're doing that. So I'm not going to do that. But I can say that I had the ring, and it's a legit ring and all that, for a week before I asked her, and it was driving me fucking crazy. I was a little tense. It's like carrying a loaded gun. It was very, very... So it's like that... So huge relief of that. And then now, you know, that's been replaced by the upcoming stress of, oh, now we've got to figure out a wedding during a pandemic. This would be great. Yeah, I'm not going to talk about the engagement. I'm engaged. Woo! For 15 to 20 more minutes. That seems repetitive. I'll try to talk about something else. It did really boost our spirits, though. We really needed it. She's been listening to a lot more loving music. You know, love songs around the house. I myself have been listening to more new wave. So it's not really, you know, it's like, but you know, you can't really listen to the content. But if I'm listening to 80s, I'm listening to 80s wave shit, you know, I'm in a good mood. You know, you can't go off of Never Again is what you... You can't go off of the content. You have to go off of the fact that I'm listening to Depeche Mode and Love and Rockets and Jesus and Mary Chain and, you know, some of the Smiths and that, you know, that shit. Just because I'm listening to that, that's how you know I'm in a good mood. So it's not necessarily the content. It's the genre. That's how you know. So I've been doing all right. I wrote down, it's funny because I have like this piece of paper that I write down notes during the week that, hey, maybe you should talk about this. Maybe you should talk about this. And early on, like before the proposal, because honestly, the proposal was going to happen today, but it ended up happening Saturday, but it was going to happen today. So, and it wasn't going to be announced or anything. So I was going to have to do this podcast, you know, just talking about whatever, not, you know, and hiding, because she, you know, she announced it on social media this morning, so I feel like I can talk about it on, you know, I don't want to take away from the moment, so I wasn't going to talk about it, which would have been just weird. It's like, oh, hey, everybody, welcome to the podcast. It's just another week. Nothing's going on. I'm serious. You can trust me. Anywho, what's the deal with the sun? But, yeah, so I got to... You know, like I said, I'm leaning into it. Also, you know, talk about just leaning into this pandemic and shit. I've gotten now to the, like, I had the last straw at the grocery store. I bag my own shit now. I buy the same things. Like, I vary a little bit. But I go to the store on my scooter and I have it set up to where I can get three bags. You know, my backpack, one bag in the basket in the back, and then one bag that can get secured underneath my seat and then in between, you know, and then sits in the space in between my legs so I can it just kind of locks down, doesn't go anywhere. So I buy the same amount of groceries and I know how to pack them in my head. And it fucking drives me crazy when some rando's like, I'll get those for you, sir. I'm not that old. Go help an old woman. Go run off. Somebody needs your help. Or somebody is entitled and wants you to do the physical labor. I, however, am a control freak. Don't touch my fucking groceries. Just hide it under the guise of, no, out of safety, let me bag my own groceries. I just, you know, it's less hands, you know, pandemic. I don't want the coronavirus. It can't possibly be that I really am controlling about what frozen items and how they're stacked in a bag, even though it doesn't matter and you do just a okay job, although occasionally you smush bread. How do you still crush bread, bro? How long have you been working here? This is not your first day, is it? No. Why do you still bag like it's your first day? You don't care? There's a lot of people not working right now, buddy. Look, I don't have time to go into it with you why you should do your job better. So how about this? I'm going to bag my own shit. I didn't say any of that other than, I got it, thank you. Because, you know, I'm still... you know, pleasant in public, theoretically. But I'm done. Yeah, no more. You don't get to touch them. No touching. You don't get to touch the groceries. I have to bag my own shit. I actually wrote that down. I was like, but the thing is, I wrote down the note. It took me about 10 minutes to figure out what the note was that I wrote down to talk about this. The note I wrote was, I got it. Go help an old lady. And that's all I wrote. And I'm like, what the fuck was I thinking about on Friday that I wrote that shit down? I have no idea. It's like, go help an old lady. What? What's going on? Oh. All right, you guys. You know the thing, my fiance, I love saying that. Seriously. Ugh, so much better. My fiance said the other day, because we were talking about like people just losing their goddamn mind. I think it was, I honestly think it was the Ellen shit. I think it was just the people, the outrage at, you know, the Ellen stuff, which is just kind of, it's a weird jump from, you know, protecting people from sexual harassment to in the workplace to it's a toxic environment, work environment. Yeah. Not every job is an improv. It's Hollywood. Not every job is a fucking improv class. You know? Yeah, we've seen the movies. We know that behind the scenes are not as cheerful as in the front of the camera. They make movies and TV shows about that shit. We all know that. We don't figure, like, how are they in person? Oh, they're really nice. No, they're not. There's no way they're nice. I'll tell you why. If I was doing that show, let's say I had a show, I don't think I'd want anybody to look me in the eye either. I'm going to be honest. Especially, you know, I'm running a fucking empire here. I got a lot of shit on my plate. Like, that's what them giving Steve Harvey shit for not looking him in the eye. He said something about that. Steve Harvey doing two different fucking shows and a radio show. Man, leave that man alone. Because everyone thinks that they're the only person that goes up to him and he goes, oh, I just want to say hi to him. You know, he's a hero of mine. Or, oh, Ellen's a hero of mine. I've got to talk to her. Man, how many motherfuckers want to talk to you the whole day? And the other thing about it is that, you know, oh, she's not nice in person. Yeah, neither was Michael Jordan, but you had no problem with that. Apparently, it's okay if you're an asshole, if you're also a winner, if it's basketball related. That's all the Ellen. Ellen just needs a 10-part documentary series about how much she wins by also being an asshole. But anyway, I think we were talking about that. And of course, I'm not, you know, of course, when you really look at the toxic work environment shit, and you're like, yeah, he's mean, didn't he? Don't. She tells people to chew gum. Okay, you stinky breath motherfucker, chew some gum. Do you want to keep working there? That's not the thing. The thing that sucks is the part where she totally, you know, makes all that money and they don't take care of their own employees. Fuck them. That's the part that, you know, if you're not taking care of your employees and, you know, and you're trying to, and you're supposed to be this kind of this media empire and you're not taking care of your people, you can go fuck yourself. But this whole like sensitive, you know, it should be fun around here, man. Go eat shit. But that was the thing we were looking at that, and she kind of, my fiance kind of pointed out that people are just looking for something. This is how we're dealing with that. Everybody in the country is going through the stages of grief about the loss of our old lives. And I was like, holy shit, you're right. That's what's going on. We're going through the stages of grief, which are, by the way, people will tell you that, there are some that say that there are more stages, that it's too simplistic, the five stages of grief. Yeah. I've seen it. There's a seven stages of grief. I've seen that. There's one that's a 12 stages, just like steps of going through the grieving process. And I don't know why motherfuckers like the number 12. I don't know where 12 came from. And while, you know, everyone's copying the whole AA model, like, you don't need 12. Round it down to 10. You know, I don't know. I don't understand you know, they just do things to feel comfortable. Everything's made up is what I'm getting at. So let's go with the Kubler-Ross model, which is the five stages of grief, which are denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and then acceptance. And that just makes sense that you've got a lot of people going through different stages at different times. And we got a lot of people that are in the anger stage. We were in denial at one point. We're like, no. Yeah, this is going to go away. It's totally going to be fine. Everything will be fine. Baseball's going to come back, and I'm sure that'll be great. There'll be no problems whatsoever. It'll heat up. Totally be fine. And then, you know, the anger. So there's a lot, you know, everybody seems, all the people that you see anger, some people are legit angry about the subjects that they're yelling about. Some subjects are valid. But you kind of get the feeling that a lot of people are like yelling louder than they normally, they're surprisingly more angry than you would think that they would be about the certain subjects or whatever. And I think that's what it is. I think they're going through the grieving process and they're in the anger stage and they just need an outlet. So they found another outlet and they're just, so it's like, you know what? This is the hill I'm dying on. And so we've got a lot of that. And I don't know. I could go through different other. I really don't have an example of the bargaining. I don't know. Depression. I think we all have depression. Some people are just stuck in the depression stage. I told some people, I had a friend of mine who we were talking about that, about how like dealing with depression. It's almost like, you know, I've been dealing with depression my whole life. It's almost like your body's been training you to get through this moment, this year. It's like you've had 30 years of depression to prepare you for now. It's like, oh, this is why I was, an introvert. I've been an introvert because I've been training for the pandemic and for quarantine. That's good. Thanks, body. Thanks for fucking me up for three decades just for this. Seems a little overboard, but it worked. Thumbs up. But I think that's it. I think we're all just working our way towards acceptance of it's time for, you know, to find your new life. It's going to require, you know, it's going to require effort. We can't just avoid doing everything. We're going to have to do some things. And that's the whole idea of my fiance and I get married, is that we're going to have to figure it out and do things responsibly. We're going to, you know, get married in a responsible way in the middle of a pandemic, figure things out while still doing things instead of avoiding it, instead of waiting it out and doing nothing, going, maybe things will get better. Nobody's going to save us. We have to do things on our own. We got to figure things out on our own. And that's kind of where we landed on, and we're both on the same page of. And it's exciting. It's scary, but it's exciting. And it's moving forward. And it's yet another step that lets me look back to getting out of Travis County lockup after 6 months of jail and treatment, while still being on probation, and going to Sober House and going, wow, here we are starting over. You know, and that was seven and a half years ago for me. And I'm going to be coming up on being completely sober for 8 years in just next month. But it's been like these incremental changes, just slowly trying to adjust to being a sober person, try to adjust to talking to people, then adjusting to being comfortable around being in public, performing stand-up again. You know, thinking that I was done dating after years, and then, you know, being able to deal with that. And it just, you know, just incremental changes, but it's life's gotten better since I decided to quit self-destructing and actually to work on myself. So, yeah. So things are looking good. So this pandemic can kiss my ass, man. I've been through a lot, and we're gonna keep moving. I think we'll be all right. Thank you guys for joining me again on my podcast, and I'm gonna end it there. And we will see you next week. Stay sober if you're a sober person. If you're not sober, stay safe, and everybody stay sane. I will see you next week. Later. Pierce skin, come back down to earth again. The cold is creeping deep inside. Disconnect the telephone line. Gotta get away, gotta get away, get away, gotta get away. For the Lord, don't make me stay on. Should've been, could've been.